From the Piazetz and the Rebbe, from the year 1940, tough shit. The Sefer Eish Kodesh is the Ritor from several years of the war. So in tough shin, we have reported here four different Torahs of Pesach. Okay? The first one has to do with Rebbeim and Talmidim. So, even though I consider myself your friend more than your Rebbe, but I think hopefully we can connect to it in a deep way. Okay, let's see. Maisa Rebbe Eliezer. Right, we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, the famous Maisa of the Jews in Bnei Brak, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer ben Zaya, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, right? Everyone's in Bnei Brak, and they're darshaning Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim all night, Ad Shabbat Talmideim, and they inform them, Higi Azman Kriyas Moshel Shachris. They didn't know it was Higi Azman Kriyas Moshel Shachris. What's the story here? V'navina, Hagam Mi'atzim Rosh Shekvar Higi Azman Kriyas Moshel Shachris. Didn't they see on their own? Were they so absorbed in their state that they did not even realize that the morning had come? Could be. Hey, say it with their Mikila? Could be. Okay, but did they not know? Did they not realize? Were they so lost in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Were they sitting in a cave? And they didn't realize what was happening outside? We could offer different svaras why, in fact, they didn't know. But the Piazester assumes, how could they not know? Were they not sensitive to the fact that the Jew has to be thinking about Kabbalah, Zavach, Shemaim every day? V'im efshar lomar, she'od Yoshua Mesaper, v'pnei she'zman, haschalas, zman kriyashma, ad sofa, yesh eiza shaos, and maybe they had a svara, maybe of course they knew it was zman kriyashma, but they said, zman kriyashma has a starting point, has an ending point. So they knew that what? Until sof zman kriyashma, lefi, whichever shita they were going to follow, they had time. So maybe they continued to speak and to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim because they recognize this is the beginning of Zman Kriyas Shema. Until Sof Zman Kriyas Shema, there's Eizah Shaos, right? And therefore we have time. So that's why they made an active decision to continue to talk about Pesach, to talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if so, if that's true, meaning if that was their svar before the Talmidim walked in, as I lama bevoa Talmidim kvar hefsiku. So again, if they didn't realize it was Zman Kriyas Shema, why should that be? And if they did realize it was Zman Kriyas Shema, and they had a svara to not say Shema yet, because we have plenty of time, so what changed when the Talmidim walked into the room? Then all of a sudden, the Talmidim said, oh, Rabbi Yisai, didn't you realize it's Zman Kriyas Shema? Oh, thank you so much. If they had a svara, if they had it all worked out already, why did they change their position? Ki kanira rak at Shabbat Talmideim, Yashru u'kashabot u'siku. It sounds like that they were Boker Tov. It sounds like they were involved in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Talmidim walked in. The Talmidim walked in, and then all of a sudden, oh, the Yizmat Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris. So what changed? So he says a very beautiful insight. He says, based on the Gemara in Brachos, the Efshar Ki Isa Beseches Brachos Dav Chavches. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick, his Talmidim came to visit him. Kishachal Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Nichnasu Talmidim Levakra. Kevan Shiraosam his Hislovikos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sitting in the bed from which he would not emerge. The bed that would he spend the final moments of his life. He saw his dear Talmidim and he started to cry. Amar Lahem. He said to them, what are we crying about? Ilu hayom olichanosi v'chulu. We have to fill in the gaps. If they were taking me on such a path, etc. What's the etc.? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if they were taking me before a king of flesh and blood to be judged, I would be scared. Alachas kam v'kam, I'm being taken before Melech Malchim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't negotiate with him, I can't bribe him, I can't trick him, I can't work political connections to try to better my fate. Right? So, of course I'm scared. And that's part one, reason one why I'm crying. V'lo od. And then he said something which makes us very depressed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, whose whole life was dedicated to Torah, said about himself, we know who is the Gedolei Talmidim we have. V'lo od. Elashiyesh lefanai shnei drachim. There are two paths in front of me. A path to Gan Eden, a path to Gehenna. And says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in his humility, I don't know which path I'm headed to. After a life of Avodas Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not sure which way, which direction he's heading. V'navina. So says the Piazetzer. In Bishvil Zeh Bacha. So if that's why he was crying. He was crying because of, again, the judgment that awaited him in the world to come. The fact that you can't bargain, you can't trick HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yom HaDin is a pachad in and of itself. And more than that, he was scared that he's going to be sentenced to Gehenim. So why did he start crying when the Talmidim came in the room? Imkein, lama rak, kevan shara osam yischil livchos, velo kodim shara osam. Mistama, he was thinking about this. He was definitely ill. So what changed? Again, why would the Talmidim walk into the room? Did all of a sudden he start to cry? So perhaps we can answer as follows. Says the Piazetz. Aval Isa B'Gemara Makos Dafyun. Al Yilmod Odin L'Talmud She'eno Hagun. Very fascinating din. It's brought the halacha. Rambam brings it. That what? That you're not allowed to teach a student who's not fit to be taught. Now, exactly what the definition of a Talmud who's not roi, is not fit to be taught, is a good question. We'll see in the next piece that even the Ben Rasha who comes to the Seder deserves to be taught and responded to. Even though you have to read a little bit between the lines to see the response to the Rasha. But there is a notion, there is a concept of a Talmud who's not hagun, who's not fit, who's not worthy of entering the basement. Why? What would be wrong with the Rebbe trying to teach a Talmud who's not the ideal Talmud? Who's not really ready to learn, yeah?
So, Rasha or Kofar, if he wants to use knowledge for bed.
Okay, so maybe he'll take the Torah, right? The Gemara Yoma says, Torah could be a Sama Chaim or a Sama Mavis. Depends what you do with it. So you're saying you're empowering him to use Torah as a weapon.
Or the wrong way, right?
Right, he'll use it for the wrong reasons. He'll take Torah and he'll use his, you know, Torah knowledge to rationalize certain behaviors. Okay, certainly a good svara. He quotes a different Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma says, Pei Zayin, Nir Atam, Kedei Shelo Yihyeh Hu Began Eden V'Talmido B'Gehenna. We don't want to create a situation where the Rebbe, who's a big tzaddik, is going to go to Gan Eden. And the Talmud, who's Eino Hagun, is going to end up in Gehenna. And that's a bad situation. Let's see why. V'chein Lo Yilmod Me'rab She'Eino Hagun. And a Talmud shouldn't learn from a Rebbe who's not fit. Now obviously there are degrees of what it means to be not fit. You have a Gemara in two places in Shas, in Moed Kata and again in Chagiga, that says, Sif Seikoi Yishmur Das, Vitori Yavakshu Mipiu. It's a pasuk in Treyasar. I think it's in Malachi, Chagai, it's Chaya. It's in one of those three. Where's the pasuk? Sif Seikoi Yishmur Das, I'm not sure. Maybe in Malachi. And it says that, right, Torah Yavakshu Mipiu. If your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzivakos, if your Rebbe is on the Madriga of an angel, then you should learn from him. If your Rebbe is anything less than an angel, you shouldn't learn from him. Okay, so that's obviously a very high standard. But beyond that, there's a concept of a Rav who's just simply in a Hogun. Forget the fact that he's not an angel. He's not a proper teacher of Torah. And you shouldn't learn from such a person. But Navin, no. In a Talmud, in a Hogun. It says the PSS, or why? Let's think about it. Let's talk about the Rebbe. Let's assume the Rebbe is proper and the Talmud is Eino Hagun. So you shouldn't take on such a Talmud. Why shouldn't you take on such a Talmud? Because the Talmud is going to end up in Gehenna and you're going to end up in Gan Eden. So it says to be a Zester, and if you don't teach him, what's going to happen? He's still going to end up in Gehenna and you're still going to end up in Gan Eden. So what do you have to lose? Give him something. Then Avin not. If a Talmud Eino Hagun, Gam Kishalo Yilam Duhu Harav. Kol Shekein Shehe B'Gehenna. Right? All the more so he's going to be in Gehenna. So Nebuch, this poor guy, you're going to leave him on the streets to do more of Eros and to be more disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Better to give him something. Why shouldn't the Rebbe teach him something? Right? Give him something to work with. The opposite is also true. You say, I have a choice. I can learn nothing, or I can learn by a Rebbe who's not really fit to be teaching. He's not a good Rebbe. He doesn't deserve to teach. But I have no other choice. It's him or it's nothing. So isn't it better to learn something from him? V'chein lehefech. Not to learn from a Rav Sheino Hagun mitam zeh. The mashmash zeh tosefes rav. It makes it sound that it's, yes, nothing is better than learning or teaching, right? Learning from a Rebbe who's not fit or teaching a Talmud who's not fit. It's going to end up worse. Why is it going to end up worse? What do you have to lose? So he says, aval Rebbe v'talmidim kishurim zeh b'zeh. Because the bond that's formed and forged by two people who learn Torah, when one has a hashpa on the other, Rebbe to Talmud, Talmud to Rebbe, there's a bond that's being formed between the two of them in such a way. It means that if you commit, when a Rebbe and a Talmud commit to one another, and if you look in Pirkei Avos, it doesn't take much for someone to be called your Rebbe. Anyone you've really learned Torah from or with is in a sense called the Rebbe, obviously on a smaller scale, although more so somebody you spend a lot of time with learning Torah. But that bond between Rebbe and Talmud continues in the next world. Which means that what's so bad about the Rebbe in Gan Eden and the Talmud in Gehenna? The Rebbe in Gan Eden is still going to be connected to his Talmud even after that Talmud's in Gehenna. And therefore what? The Rebbe says, I'm in Gan Eden, my Talmud's in Gan Eden. What difference does it make? Yifko. The Rebbe is in Gan Eden, or vice versa, the Talmud is in Gan Eden, while the Rebbe is in Gan Eden, right, is going to be affected by that kinyan, by that kesher, by that relationship. The bond that's formed between Rebbe and Talmud is such that he continues after this world. So yes, it will make a difference. What do you have to lose? He's going to Gehenna anyway, so I might as well help him out a little bit. No, but once you make a kesher through Torah, that kesher continues in the next world. And therefore the person is, yes, there is a significant loss to himself. He's going to go to Gan Eden. But the fact that his Talmud's in Gehenna is going to be pogeya, it's going to ruin his experience in Gan Eden. And therefore there is a significant sacrifice that's being made, and a sacrifice that Chazal is saying you don't have to make. You don't have to attach yourself to someone who's only going to have a negative influence on your afterlife. So now we can understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was crying. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his humility was crying the following tears. He said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai al atzmo hayonov. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is in his deathbed and he's crying and he says, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what they're going to do to me. I don't know if I'm going to Gan Eden or Gehenim. Aval has Talmidav Ra'ah Shein Tzaddiki Ol. When he saw his students, what did he say about his students? My students, big tzaddikim. My students are good tzaddikim. They're worthy Talmidim. Right? I am a Rebbe who's Eino Hagun. And therefore, why did he begin to cry? Lachen Kishirah Islam. He saw them and he said, Oi, look at the damage I'm going to cause to them. I don't know which path I'm going on. Im came. He yelled fi anvasanuso. In accordance with his humility, he says, who v'chulo? Right? He says he doesn't want to say it. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was hinting to the fact that I am going to be where? In Gehenna. V'talmidav, and my talmidim are going to be in Gan Eden. And he started to cry because he felt, oi, I'm going to ruin their experience in Gan Eden because I was their bad Rebbe. So he started to cry. He felt, what a terrible disservice I've done to these sweet B'nai Torah, these good, worthy tzaddikei olam, as the P.S.S. Rebbe called them. L'chein k'sharao sam hischel livchos mishum she'ein yodea be'ez ederach molichin osi. And that's why he began to cry. He felt bad that he was going to cause damage to his Talmidim. And again, it was his humility that caused him to do such a thing. But he felt the students were worthy, and he was not. So now we come back to what we started with. And that was what? Those sages sitting in Bnei Brak for that famous Seder in the environs of Rabbi Akiva, Bnei Brak. V'chein gam, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, v'chulu. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, right? Where they sat together on that night. Kama, as much as they were speaking about the story and trying to mekayim the mitzvah, the araisa of Sipur Yesias Mitzrayim, why did they feel that they have to keep going and keep going and keep going? They felt that, who are we? We're not worthy of being mekayim this mitzvah. And they felt that as much as they had done, they hadn't done enough. We haven't accomplished anything yet. So they felt an achrayus to keep going, keep going, keep going. But what happened? Aval kishiro, top of page lamed hay. Aval kishiro as talmideim lifneim. But when they saw their talmidim walk in, and they saw that what? V'ro eich heim meirim achar osu alayla. They saw how illuminated their talmidim were. Then they could finally look at themselves and they say, oh, look at the hashpah we had on our talmidim. And that gave them, unlike Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who in his humility said that even after he saw his Talmidim, he felt that he wasn't in any way responsible for them. But this Chevron ben Ebrach, when they saw the Talmidim, and they saw the quality of the Talmidim, it gave them nachas ruach. To know that what? That what we've been trying to accomplish this night has worked. And the Talmidim have received our hashpah. When they saw the shining faces of the Talmidim, they said, oh, apparently our Yesias Mitzrayim has worked. And therefore, once they saw the Talmidim in answer to the P.S.S.'s question, once they saw the Talmidim, then they realized we can stop. We've accomplished what we set out to accomplish. We've made a difference with our Sipur Yesias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Kvar Paskum. And therefore, they concluded their recitation of the Haggadah. Okay, so this is insight number one from the P.S.S. Rebbe. Helps us to understand the bond between Rebbe and Talmud. And again, it helps us to understand the humility of the great sages of Bnei Brak, who felt that we have to do and do and do until we see a real tangible result from our efforts in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that result was seen when they saw the shining faces of the Talmidim and the Hashpah that they had. Okay? Number two. Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom, right? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. Baruch Shalas and Torah Lach Yisrael. Baruch Hu, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. La'avin Mahu HaBaracha Shemavarach HaNoso Yisbarach Asher Dibra Torah Keneged Arba Banim. So these answer is a very simple question. What's the kasher between these two things? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, thanks Hashem for giving us the Torah. And by the way, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. So I always like to say over an idea that they say B'Shem Rav Chaim Brisker and others, that the connection is, we're thanking Hashem, look how amazing the Torah is. Maral sort of has a similar idea, that look how amazing the Torah is. The Torah is Keneged Arba Banim, which means what? The Torah is the only book of knowledge in the world that is written for all Jews in accordance with your level. Which means that a first grader can be receiving a Chumash for the first time, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky is sitting in Bnei Brak, learning that same Chumash, right? And they're learning the exact same text. And it's meaningful to both of them. That's an unbelievable thing. There's no other book like that in the world. If you're studying mathematics, right? So there's books for first graders, and there's books for college students, and there's different texts in accordance with one's level. Torah is the only unique text in the world that operates on every single level. That it speaks to a Rasha, and it speaks to a Chacham, and a Sheinu Yodei Elisha, right, and a Tom, each person is able to extract from the Torah something according to his level. Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod, it's endlessly deep. There's a simple story that masks the entire thing. So, that's a beautiful thought. And the connections, that's why we say, Baruch HaMakom Shenas Torah Lama Yisrael. What an amazing gift the Torah is. Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. But says the P.S.S. Rebbe, I want to explain a little further. Ve'efshar ki kvar dibarnu mizeh, Sheba'oso pasuk sheramza Torah tshuva laben rasha, ramza tshuva l'she'enu yudei elisha. He says, the truth is, if you look carefully, in Shmos Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk ches, that's the pasuk he's referencing here, ve'yigadat levincha, bavor ze'as ha'shem li, right, that pasuk, that response, is both the response to the rasha, and the she'enu yudei elisha. Look what he says here, this is amazing. You never thought about it like this. He says, Pashut Efshar Lomar, Sheba'emes Ein Kavanas HaTorah. The Torah is not actually telling us to push away, right, to distance Afilas Ben HaRasha, to push away the Rasha. The Torah is not telling us to do that. The Torah is actually telling you that the Rasha and the She'eni Yodei Elisha have a lot in common. Really? How do they have a lot in common? Rakeven Sheshneim Heim Bebechinas She'eni Yodei Elisha Uliftoach BeKedusha. They're both She'eni Yodei Elishas. They both don't know how to ask, but of a different quality. The first one, the She'eni Yodei Elishol, Zeh She'eni Yodeya, Legabri Elishol. One, Bechlal, doesn't even know how to ask. He doesn't have anything to say. He's She'eni Yodei Elishol. That's the son we call the She'eni Yodei Elishol. What about the Rasha? He's also, says Pia Zetner, at his essence, he's also a She'eni Yodei Elishol. V'Rasha Yodeya Yedios Lo Tovos. The Rasha, because he has acquired all sorts of foreign knowledge, and all sorts of confusing ideas. Vesatovos Eniodei Elishol. He has a lot to say, but he doesn't know how to ask properly. He doesn't know how to ask in a way that's appropriate for a Seder. Lechein l'shnei mashiva Torah pasukecha. And therefore we respond to both of them in the same way. Eich liftoach lehem b'kedusha. Ve'eich l'karva. How do you get someone who doesn't know how to ask? One has a lot to say. The Rosh has a lot to say. The Sheini Yodishol has nothing to say. And yet, essentially, they both have nothing to say. They both don't know how to engage in Kedusha. They don't know how to begin the conversation in the right way. The one who doesn't know how to speak and ask at all, die, it's enough. So you help him, get him started. You open it up for him. You begin the conversation for him. Guide him. What about the Rasha? The Rasha also, you just need to get him started. But the problem is, the inner self, the true self, of the Rasha is buried beneath all of the nonsense that he's piled on top of his neshama. Ula Rasha sheyesh lo yedios lo tovos, uvishvil zeh ein yodei elisha. He's also an ein yodei elisha bikedusha. Therefore, what? First, you got to knock the nonsense out of him. And therefore, tzarach lios mikodim hakei ashinav. We do respond to the Rasha. It's not just we slap him in the face and that's it. First, hakei ashinav uvizeh at pesachlo. That's how we open him up, and then we're able to mekav. So the She'eni Yodei Elishol is just a more innocent version of a She'eni Yodei Elishol. And the Rasha, who seemingly has a lot to say, is, well, he's She'eni Yodei Elishol. He doesn't really know what this is about. He's never really experienced Kedusha. He got lost in all sorts of negativity, and therefore knocked that away from him. Hakei Ashina, blunt his teeth, and then afterwards you'll be able to be Makar, you'll be able to pull him in the same way that you're able to pull in the She'enu de Elisho Kepshuto, the one who doesn't know how to ask anything. So now the Piyazet Tzenevi, now again, this is Tough Shin. This is from the year Tough Shin, 1940. Let's never forget, when you learn the Ish Kodesh, you can never, as beautiful as the Divrei Torah, you can never lose yourself in the Var and not remind yourself of the context in which these Divrei Torah were being spoken. Okay? So look how he turns it now into a tefillah for those Jews suffering in that very difficult situation that he was suffering in. Look how he turns it into a tefillah to the Kodesh Baruch. V'nei adu omen ba'avarab. We dive into a Kodesh Baruch every day. Avinu avarachma. Racheim aleinu b'seim b'libeinu bina. Hashem, I'm asking of you, please have rachmanis on me and place what? Place knowledge, deep knowledge, bina. Chachma, bina, das. Place a depth of understanding. Bina, the ability to be maven davar mitoch davar. It's deeper than chachma. Give me that ability, place that in my heart. Klomar. Kevan shakadosh baruch hu miskayim es kol haTorah. Since we have a principle, it's based on Yerushalmi, Rosh Hashanah, Midrashim, and there are many, many, many examples of this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is bound by his Torah. Hashem keeps the Torah himself. Therefore, the Torah which says what? Teach your children. So we say to Hashem, you have to teach us. We say every morning in Birchas HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malame. Right? He's Malame Torah Lama Yisrael. He has to teach us. U'matem es b'neichem. So therefore, this mitzvah of teaching one's children, Lachein Avinu, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Father, She'ata, that you who are commanding us, Kiviyachal b'mitzvah, so you also are commanded in this mitzvah. The same way you want us to teach our children. Hashem, you have an obligation to teach us. Because we're your children. And therefore we demand of you. You have an obligation to educate us. And now we understand. Baruch habakum baruch shenasan Torah l'amu Yisrael k'neged arba banim. The same way that Hashem, you expect us to teach the Rasha. So therefore you, as a Rebbe, as a father, have an obligation to teach us even when we act like Rasha. Ki kevan shemitzvah min haTorah l'shuv l'karev kol minei habanim. Since you expect us to reach out and to try to bring all of our children, the chacham, the tam, the she'eni yodei lishon, the af al ha'rasha, lo amr b'zeh al tana ksil, to the Rasha we don't say, don't respond to him. He's worthless. He's not worth reaching out to. O Kamosha Umbru, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamelches, that to an Apikoris Yisrael Asur Lahashu. We don't say that about this Rasha. He's sitting at the Seder. Lava Jeremy very famously described a fifth son who doesn't even come to the Seder. Right? Never. We have to reach out to him also. We have to reach out to that one also. But the Rasha who comes to the Seder, he's just confused. That's exactly the piece that's saying here. He's the same as the She'eni Yodei Elisha. The only difference is he took a few more college classes. Got a little more messed up by a couple of philosophy professors. That's all. She'eni Yodei Elisha, just his IQ wasn't smart enough to get into college. That's the only difference. So Ad Psachla, the Rasha, you have to be a little tougher with Hakei Ashinov. But he's a man also. He's one of the children. He's sitting with the family at the Seder. And therefore, the Torah doesn't say, Al Tanak Sil, don't respond to him. The Torah doesn't say, this is an Apikoris Yisrael, Asur Lahashiv. The Torah says, find a way to connect with him. Rakas Kulam Ata Yeshuvu V'yikarvu. That every single one of them have to be brought back. And therefore, we say to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're bound by the same rules. L'chein gam hu yizbarach yikayim ata mitzvah zu. The Piyazet Rebbe says, from the depths of the ghetto, he says, you have to do the same thing with Hashem. It's very clear to us that you're mad at us. That's the mitzias of what's happening to the Jewish people in this very difficult time, 1940. Ki afilu chas v'shalom mishu rasha, but Hashem, we say to you, even if we are rasha'im, Kvarkimu dai banu hakei ashinav. But you've blunted our teeth enough. You've beat us up enough. You did the first part. You did the hakei ashinav. And now it's time to what? Atpsachla. Time to make an opening to bring us back. Vikarvenu ata elav yisbarach barachme. Ve'efshe shalachein omrim acharkach. And therefore, what do we say after? What do we say in the Haggadah? Right after we learn about Baruch HaMakom Hashem, you're bound by your Torah, K'neged Arba Banim, you have to reach out to us even if we're Rasha. What do we say? We say, Mitchila Uvdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Originally we were in a bad place. The Achsh of what? The Achsh of Hashem, you brought us close. The Achsh of Kirvanu HaMakom Lavodasa. Lomar, Shekvar Hayu Kach La'olamim, Sheyukol Kach Rechokim. There's been many times in Jewish history when we were far away, But yet, Kirvanu Abakul Levadasa, but Hashem, He brought us back. And therefore, the P.S.S. everybody says, as a tefillah, and it's a tefillah we can all think about when you come to the Seder, whichever part of ourselves we're not happy with. We're not Rasha. Chas v'shal, no one in this room is a Rasha. But we all have aspects of Rishus in us, and we have aspects of Chametz in our lives. And therefore we say, Hashem, even the Chametz in my life, you have to educate that piece of Chametz. The same way that if I see a Jew who's holding in a place of Chametz, you expect me to reach out and to educate him, and to find the Psicha, Hakei Yashina, blunt his teeth, and then Absachla, bring him into Kedusha. So Hashem, you have to do the same thing with me. And you have to reach out to me. And Hakei Yashina, I've suffered enough, the Gaulus enough has been enough to blunt our teeth. And now it's time to bring us back, to bring us close, to pull us in. It's a beautiful, beautiful insight. Okay, turn the page. Top of Lamed Vav. Two more insights from the P.S. Esther. Two small insights. One is a very powerful technique in tefillah. And the second one is just the P.S. Esther bearing his soul before us.
We talked about
that sometime before, no?
What are you saying?
We talked about that. Yeah, in Tzichos Iran we spoke about the other day. Okay, the Pasuk says in Chumash. Cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. But Yishma Hashem is Kolenu, Hashem heard our voice. But Yar es Anyenu Basamalenu Basnachatzenu. So the P.S. Esther Rebbe says sometimes a person has a lot of very specific pain that he's in, and he's suffering from a lot of very specific difficulties or struggles, and he's trying to find a way to get Hashem to pay attention to all of the detailed things. Hashem, it's not enough. I don't want you just to hear me in a general sense. I want you to listen to every little cry and cracks and every bit of pain that I'm experiencing. Hashem, I want you to start paying attention to that, and I want you to do something about that. But how do I get Hashem to start listening? So P.S. Esther Rebbe gives us a powerful technique to use in tefillah. When a person is zocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to his tefillos and responding to his tefillos, as shomei Hashem imenu b'tefillosav, as kol tzarosav v'inuyav. If I can get Hashem to start listening, Hashem is a good listener, right? Hashem is a very good listener, but I have to get his attention. So how do I get Hashem's attention? How do I get him to begin to listen if I don't feel that I'm worthy of Hashem listening to me? They were in a very lowly place, as we all know. We were in a situation where our tefillos were not able to reach Hashem. So how do I break down that barrier? If I could just get Hashem to begin to listen, once I have Hashem's ear, I can unload all of my feelings. But how do I get his attention? Look very carefully at the pasuk. Look back at the pasuk. We cried out to Hashem, and we've been crying along for a long time. The P.S. Rebbe says in Mitzrayim, but Hashem never listened. So you know what we did? We said, "Fine, Hashem, you know what? We're not worthy, but just give me a little something. Acknowledge. Forget the words. Forget the context of what I'm trying to say." And the content of what I'm trying to say. Just listen to the fact that I'm crying. Right? Hear my call. Forget the words. Not the word. Call. And do so, not of my own merit, because of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, just listen a little bit. Just hear that something's happening down below. Hear my call. And Hashem says, fine, I'm willing to do that. But once Hashem started to listen, meaning we sort of tricked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to us. We said, Hashem, I'm not... Who am I to ask for all these things that I need? But at least hear my voice. Hear that I'm trying to, that I'm crying. Just listen to the sound of my voice. So, okay. So Hashem listened. Oh. Okay. But once I, so to speak, convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once Klal Yisrael realized that we can use Chos Avos to help ourselves, and we got Hashem to begin to listen, even just to the raw sound coming from the depths of their throats. The oy, right? Hashem, just hear that. Forget what I want to ask you. Just hear that. But once Hashem listened, v'niskarev lanu. Once we brought Hashem to start paying attention, l'chein kvar ra'a ba'atzmo es anyenu v'samalenu v'snachatzenu v'oshianu. And that's an important technique to use. Sometimes we're too scared to engage Hashem in tefillah because we know we have some very, very weighty requests, and I don't feel worthy of asking those requests. So here's a technique to take the pressure off. Just say, Hashem, I'm a ben of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that alone allows me to feel that I can at least be in your presence. I can do something. I can at least stand there. I can at least cry. And you'll hear my cry. But once I know I have Hashem's attention, now I have a psicha, I'm standing before the king. Go for it. And that's what the PSS never said. Again, we, perhaps, sitting here in the Holocaust, are not worthy of having all of our specific requests answered. But we're still your children, we're still the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that alone should cause you to start to pay attention. And once you're paying attention, Hashem, we're not going to hold back from asking for everything. And we want you to see every bit of our suffering, and Amir Hashem bring us to a state of Geula and a state of Yeshua. Okay, and a fourth and final insight from the PSS Rebbe, Pesach Tavshin, 1940. Namisha, a very powerful poetic tefillah of sorts in the Torah. He says, we know, we say, Alkein Evarim Shepalagta Banu V'ruch HaNeshama. We say, as part of the tefillos, at the end of the Haggadah, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nishmas, that every bit of my being wants to praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Evarim Shepalagta Banu V'ruch HaNeshama. Hei Neim Yodu V'Varchu V'Chulu. Every mouth is going to speak to you, and every lashon, and every knee is going to bend before you. V'chulu, v'chulu. Right, we should go through every phrase to see all the different body parts that are mentioned throughout the tefillah. So says the PSS, why are we mentioning all of these different body parts separately? Efshalomar. Shahashem monim bepratius. Kol echel la'atzma. Each one, each piece mentioned individually. Each of the evarim la'atzma. V'ruach la'atzma, neshama la'atzma, v'achar kach tel la'atzma, v'lashon la'atzma, v'chulu. Each part of the body is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its own way. Why not just say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entirety of who I am, is going to praise you, is going to sing the praises of you, and to thank you for all that you've done for me. V'lachein amar b'chlal, v'lo amar b'chlal, sh'anachnu kulanu yodu b'yavaruch Hu. It doesn't just say the more general, that the entirety of who I am is going to praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it specifies each bit. My lips sing to you, my tongue sings to you, right? My knees bend before you, my heart pines for you, longs for you. Right? And each bit of the body, my bones, kol atzmotzai, tomarna, each bone of the body is connecting to you, Hashem. Why is that so? Listen to this. It's actually a very sad tefillah, given the fact that, of course, the PSS lost his life at the hands of those Rishon. Hilomar, that is to say, each thing is mentioned individually to teach us that even after I'm no longer alive in this world, when a person's alive, it's a wondrous thing. Mafli lasos. Mafli lasos, you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbah brings, when we say Asher Yatzar, it's a wondrous chibur between the guf and the neshama. It's an amazing thing. That's an amazing, amazing thing. I'm just reminded now of an idea I heard from Rabbi Eitan Feiner, B'Shem Rav Moshe Shapiro. The Gemara in Brachos says that if you see an elephant in a dream, I don't ever have a dream about an elephant. Yeah, if you see an elephant in a dream, if you see a peel in a dream, you should look forward to plows, to wondrous things. Peel, plows. Mafli lasos. What's the pshat? Why is an elephant so wondrous? Okay, peel sounds like pella, I understand. But what's mafli lasos? I told you, the Ma says mafli lasos is what? Is a chibur, is the bridging of guf and neshama. Mafli lasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chalulim, chalulim. Right? I'm filled with openings. I have nekavim, I have chalulim, I have things that are open, I have things that are closed, and yet somehow the whole body works in this magnificent harmony. When a person's alive, the interaction that takes place between the bottom of his, toe, right, and his brain, and his heart, and the blood being pumped throughout his system, and the way that everything is working hand in hand is an unbelievable thing. But more than that, mafli la'asot, the fact that the neshama stays within my body with its openings, right? If you make a hole in the rug is the muscle. You make a hole, you take a plastic bag, you blow it, and you make a hole in it. So what's going to happen? The air is going to go out. And yet the body has many openings, and yet the neshama is contained within. It's mafli la'asot. It's a wondrous thing, a magnificent bridging of guf and neshama, of gashmias and ruchnias. So Moshe Shapiro once explained, why is an elephant called a peel? What's the pella of the peel? What's the wonder of the elephant? The elephant uses its trunk to both what? To both breathe, and it also serves as its hand. Right? The hand, the adayim, are the things that are most involved in Olam Hazeh. And yet, the elephant uses the same kli on the one hand to breathe, for its neshama, and at the same time, as part of its clay maisa. Unbelievable. So that's a pella. That the same thing, that the same instrument is serving both as its source of life, its ability to breathe, and at the same time, it's right? We don't use We use our nose and our mouth to breathe. We use our hands to build, to create. That's the wonder of the peel. That's why if you see an elephant in the dream, you should look forward to wondrous things. Very interesting. Fascinating insight. So the Pesach Esther Rebbe says, when a person's alive, my body is working all together. But what happens when a person dies? He lowers afil la'achar chiyus of olam hazeh. When you're no longer in this world, she is parted away varam la'atzma. When the body has separated, the guf and the neshama have parted ways. The ruach and neshama la'atzma, hapel la'atzma, balashon la'atzma. And each part of the body is no longer functioning in sync with the rest of the body. Gam oz odes Hashem. I'm saying that not only right now when my body is all functioning and everything's working beautifully together do I thank you Hashem, but I want to highlight the fact that each body part praises Hashem. That is to say, that even if my body would be torn to pieces, torn apart, I would still thank you Hashem. Now again, for such a person in such a situation to say such an idea is really a remarkable gvura and emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We besayim, and therefore we conclude, kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem, that every bone of my body, that even when I'm just nothing but dust and bones, my bones are still longing for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi kamocha, kol atzmosai tamarna Hashem mi kamocha. Afil kasholo yisha mimeni bilti atzamos. When I'm reduced to nothing but bones, and even when I'm reduced to dust and ashes, gam hi tamarna Hashem mi kamocha. And this was the B'ez Esther Rebbe's way of saying, by Zman Chay Ruseinu, Tafshin, 1940, that no matter, again, what the Rishon are going to do to me, it's not going to stop me from thanking you, Hashem. It's not going to stop me from praising you, Hashem. Whether my body is working in harmony, everything intact, or whether I'm ripped to shreds by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, it doesn't matter to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that wherever I am and whatever is left of me, even if it's just a bone in a cave or in a grave, right? I'm still going to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, these are four beautiful insights in the P.S. Esther Rebbe from Pesach 1940. Again, just to review. Number one, the relationship between Rebbeim and Talmidim and the Hashpah that they have on each other both in life and even after life. And that's why, again, those sages who were sitting in Bnei Brak were filled with such simcha when they saw that they had a proper Hashpah on their Talmidim. They felt that they had been Makai in the midst of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. Number two, Baruch HaMakum, thank you Hashem for giving us the Torah, which encourages us to even be Makai of the Rasha. And therefore you Hashem, you're bound by your own Torah. And if you think that we're Rishon, too bad. You still need to teach us. You still need to save us. And you still need to find a way to be Makari of us and to bring us close. But you brought us close long ago. And he davens that you should do it again. Number three, sometimes it's hard to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We feel unworthy to state all of our specific and detailed requests before Hashem. So therefore we use the avos, chus avos, to get a psicha, that Hashem should hear our voice. And once Hashem's listening, then you can say whatever it is that you desire, and you should ask Hashem for every detail of everything that you could possibly want or need. And lastly, that no matter what happens, even when the guf is not working in harmony, and if the various parts of the body are pulled apart, but still, every kneecap, and every tongue, and every eye, and every eyelash, and every bit of my body, kol asmosai tamarna Hashem mi kamocha. Halavai, we should try to internalize some of the words of this great tzaddik as we get ourselves ready for Pesach. Okay, shkarachem.